speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
You know, this is the time of year when fresh green leaves shoot out from trees. Blossoms are blooming and there are sweet smells that are in the air. But did you know that now is also the time of year when people are most likely to attempt to take their own life? A study that was done some years ago, reported in the Nashville Banner, said April and May are the two most common months for suicide attempts, according to officials at the Crisis Intervention Center. And sadly, among young people, suicide is the second leading cause of death in the country, ranking only behind automobile accidents. And the headline said, Tennessee suicide problem grows. And how sad that suicide is a way out that some people choose to take that is fatal and final. And so today we wanted to be talking about what the Bible has to say about suicide and how we should view suicide and how we should seek to prevent in others or ourselves the taking of our own life. The term suicide comes from Latin roots sui, oneself, and cadre, to kill, suicide, and is defined as the killing of oneself with malice aforethought while in the possession of a sound mind. And did you know that in some societies, both ancient societies and modern societies, that suicide was and is seen as an honorable way to terminate earthly existence? The Greeks considered it a part of man's freedom. And according to a Japanese psychiatrist, Japan's leading authority on the subject, suicide is the evidence of sincerity. He went on to say that when a Japanese mother decides to kill herself, she usually first kills her children. This deed raises praise because children are not only considered part of their parents, but to leave them motherless would be cruel. And sadly, suicide is becoming an increasingly popular escape from life. And in America, several thousand people each year end their life. One study says 25,000 people commit suicide every year. This means that 55 a day, or one every half hour. And some suggest that there may be 50,000 cases that go unproven. Suicide is a moral problem, it's a social problem, it's a spiritual problem. And suicide, as we've already noted, is the second leading cause of death among young people. And now we have some that are wanting legislatures to pass a law that an honorable way to end one's old age is to have doctor-assisted suicide. And a leading proponent of that was Dr. Jack Kevorkian, who wanted to euthanize people. But suicide has had a traumatic effect upon young people, the second leading killer of teenagers. And it's interesting to note that Protestants are more likely to commit suicide. And then it's the Catholics, followed by the Jews. And I believe that we must preach and teach on suicide that we may gain a better understanding of it, so that we can keep ourselves from being victims of it. But you know, the Bible tells us that suicides are not new. There were 7 recorded suicides in the Scriptures. In the book of Judges, chapter 9, verse 54, Abimelech committed suicide because he did not want it said that he was killed by a woman. And then, in a sense, Samson committed suicide because he wanted revenge upon the Philistines when he pulled the pillars of that pagan temple down upon himself. That's in Judges 16, verse 30. In 1 Samuel 31, verse 4, we learn that Saul killed himself because he did not want to be killed by the Philistines. And Saul's armor bearer also killed himself. Perhaps he felt that he had an obligation to die with his master. Or maybe he too wanted to escape death by the Philistine who were enemy. That's in 1 Samuel 31 verse 5. And in 2 Samuel chapter 17 verse 23, we read of a man by the name of Ahithophel who hung himself because his counsel was not followed. He had been counseling Absalom against David. And then in 1 Kings 16 verse 18, we read of Zimri who committed suicide when his treason against the city was exposed, and thus he set the palace afire and he burned himself alive with it. And then in the New Testament, Matthew 27 verse 4 and 5, Judas, who had betrayed his Lord for 30 pieces of silver, went out and hung himself. And one other attempted case is in Acts chapter 16, where we read the Philippian jailer thinking that Paul and Silas and the other prisoners would have escaped while he was asleep. You know, there was a miracle and the prison doors were open. He was about to commit suicide, but Paul urged him to do himself no harm, saying, "We're all here." So suicide is not a new problem. And there are a number of misconceptions regarding suicide. It is not true that only a certain class of people commit suicide. The facts are that rich and poor commit suicide. The educated, the unlearned commit suicide. The high and the low in our society, no category of men is exempt from it. Another myth is to believe that those who talk about suicide do not attempt suicide. The facts are that 80% of those who talk about it do it. And so we need to be aware of these myths. And also, we need to point out that suicidal tendencies are not inherited. Suicide victims are not mentally ill. Now, it may be that some are. The Japanese pilots, the kamikaze pilots who flew their planes into American ships in World War II, were not insane. There are Hindu women who will throw themselves onto the funeral pyre of their husbands and dive with them. And so suicide is cross-cultural, and it takes in people of all walks and all levels of life. Well, why do people take their own lives? Medical authorities offer some of the following reasons I'd like for us to look at in light of the Bible. One problem is that some cannot cope with the difficulties and the challenges and the problems of life. And yet the Apostle Paul said that, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me," Philippians 4 verse 13. There is strength available. There is help available. Now, it is a fact that mental illness plays a role in some suicides. And certainly the Bible teaches us to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, Proverbs 4, verse 23. And then Proverbs 23, verse 7, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Thus, it's vitally important that we think on good things, positive things, not look on the gloomy side of life, or that we take the apostles' advice in Philippians 4, verse 8. "Whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." We must be guardians of our minds. And what we allow to enter our mind will either make us potential suicide victims or will keep us away from those suicidal tendencies. So, medical authorities say some commit suicide because of the problems in life. Some commit suicide because of mental illness. Loneliness is the third cause of many suicides. And yet God has promised to be with His people who will carry out His will, Matthew 28, verse 20. He will in no wise fail us, neither will He in any wise forsake us, Hebrews 13, verse 5. There is help available. And then a fourth reason that medical authorities say some commit suicide is shame and guilt. Shame and guilt have caused many to take their lives. In the 51st Psalm, we see how a man overcame shame and guilt. He was the king. He was David. Yes, the man after God's own heart had committed such a despicable sin and crime of committing adultery with a soldier who was away fighting for his king, committing adultery with his wife Bathsheba. And David tried to cover the sin when Bathsheba was found to be with child by having her husband Uriah given a leave to come home. Being such an honorable man and knowing his fellow soldiers were sleeping out in the field, Uriah would not use the privilege of going to bed with his wife. He slept at the king's door. And upon learning of that, King David compounded his sin of adultery by issuing a death sentence for Uriah, that he be put in the forefront of the battle and then the other soldiers be withdrawn, that he might lose his life there. So shame and guilt have caused many people to commit suicide. But David, one of the most guilt-ridden characters of the Bible, confessed his sin. He acknowledged that he had sinned against God. He had sinned against his fellow man. And he begged God to make him clean, to wash him and purify him, that he might be upright in the sight of God again. And we today, when faced with shame and guilt, can acknowledge it, and we can be forgiven when we turn to God on His terms. Another reason medical authorities suggest that some commit suicide is a failure to reach the standards set by others. Some people have set standards for their children. They're unreasonable standards. Parents and friends set standards for others that maybe they themselves never reached, and yet they expect their child or someone else to meet those standards. We need to look to God's Word to see His standard and seek to follow His will. There's help available. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." Matthew 11, 28 through 30. When we come to Christ, we need to acknowledge that He is the Son of God. We need to repent of sins. Acts 17, 30, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. We need to confess the name of Christ, Matthew 10, verse 32. We need to be born again, baptized into Christ to have our sins washed away. And then as a new creature in Christ, we can call upon God through His Son Jesus for help. And we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If as an erring child of God we stumble, we fall, we simply repent and pray God, and He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.